This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello, and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you in partnership between Cornell University and the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science here at Cornell University in the Department of Horticulture. And the following are observations and recommendations for the week of June 27th, 2011. Well, another normal week temperature-wise with little rainfall will continue to challenge irrigation systems. ET is still very close to maximum levels. With compromised root systems, severe stress will occur. Areas with history of summer patch could need some extra care, and be sure to have brown patch and pythium programs in place to the southern end of the region in New York City and Long Island, as risks will increase this week. Crabgrass breakthrough becoming an issue, and Randy Prostak provides some advice for addressing crabgrass at this time of year. The problems with non-target effects of Imprelis continue outside of New York and demonstrate the need to really understand a product and read the label thoroughly prior to using a new product. Synthetic turf at this time can reach surface temperatures in excess of 140 degrees Fahrenheit, and very little reduction is possible with different color infill material or irrigation. Finally, keep up some infill skin work to stop annual weeds from invading and creating more work if allowed to establish. Weather last week, another close to normal week with most areas within a degree or two of normal. That said, normal at this time can lead to heat stress and did in New York City, Long Island areas and south. Soils are breaking into the 70s to the north and mid-70s to the south. Growing degree day base 50 remains about 7 to 10 days behind last season and about the same ahead of the 15-year average. The 1,000 growing degree day line cuts from southeast Pennsylvania through northern New Jersey and splits Long Island. Spotty rainfall left many still in severe deficit conditions with very high ET levels. ET was at least 1 to 1.5 inches throughout the northeast U.S. This means you could have lost up to 0.2 inches of water per day over the period. New York City and Long Island and Hudson Valley was a wet area with 1 to 2 inches of rain, and south of D.C. received almost 4 inches. The April to May period of 2011 was the wettest in the history of weather record keeping of 117 years in most of the northeast U.S. except Rhode Island. Disease risk models continue to show increasing dollar spot and anthracnose pressure with growing risk from D.C. area along the I-95 corridor and up the Hudson Valley for pythium and brown patch as nighttime temperatures remain high. And the forecast for the coming week, a showery weekend gives way to a long dry period. Except for the passing shower, the next week should be pretty mostly dry with normal temps, highs in the 70s to 80s, lows in the 50s to 60s. A warm and dry pattern is expected in the 10 to 14 day period with a strong ridge forming over the Midwest. Check out all the weather maps, weed irrigation, growth, and disease models at www.nrcc.cornell.edu/grass. That's our forecast website. The Western New York Report begins with Walt Nelson's very little rainfall recently has left nothing but the heaviest clay soils wanting for moisture. Many turf areas have already begun to move into dormancy. Lots of broadleaf weeds, some red thread, and summer patch samples in the lab. A surprising lack of European chafer adults at this time, and lawns that had crane fly problems are hard to distinguish as they might simply be dormant like many other turf areas experiencing dry conditions. The Westchester Report, Jerry Giordano, Rick Harper. Dollar spot has been evident on a few lawn areas visited, but turf contractors are not yet reporting big outbreaks of the disease. Our most troubling observations have been major thatch problems on newly sodded lawns over compacted soil. Red thread has been rampant in one instance on the associated weakened turf. A growing concern is the need for sprinkler calibration on the multiple properties we visit and a disconnect as to the need for it. Weeds observed have been dandelion, clover, plantain, ground ivy, and wild strawberry. Jap beetle grubs were still reported to be active in northernmost parts of our area. The Capital District reported a decent rainfall event has kept the area on the slightly wet side, and several samples of leaf-spotted Kentucky bluegrass have been coming into the lab, with some red thread and now some dollar spot. The moisture has helped keep areas actively growing, but we are bordering on too wet. Eastern Long Island from Tom Kowalsik, a very busy time in the lab with some interesting samples of disease and mechanical injury. Sample of a poorly mowed perennial ryegrass with severely shredded leaf tips, either from a dull mower blade, the normal stemmy ryegrass, and or poor ryegrass variety. This poorly mowed ryegrass was loaded with Ascochyta leaf spot, likely the result of being stressed and usually not a primary cause of turf failure. Starting to see some lawn height, puffy, creeping bentgrass that is dying off as the heat builds and disease starts to attack it. Also, some summer patch and brown patch samples starting into the lab. A recently renovated lawn had topsoil applied, removed from a nearby ornamental bed, is now infested the lawn with an ornamental plant, Hutunyaya, and some nut sedge. The nut sedge can be treated, but the ornamental will likely need to be mowed out. Much more active irrigation and many of the issues that go along with that, including poor coverage and overuse. Our regional update begins with Randy Prostak's weed update, our extension weed scientist from the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Crabgrass update. Crabgrass plants are approaching a two-tiller stage and in short order will be at stage one. A claim extra will not provide effective post-emergent control. Additionally, if the area of crabgrass is experiencing any level of drought stress, it would be good to wait for some rain or to irrigate to alleviate the stress 24 and up to 48 hours after a claim application. Let it dry on the leaf first to maximize control. Of course, areas outside New York can use Drive or Quinclorac for larger plants. And the ready-to-use Weed Be Gone Max has Quinclorac as an active ingredient for homeowner use in New York State. When crabgrass is visible after a pre-emergent application, there could be a time soon when you notice crabgrass plants in an area where you've applied a pre-emergent herbicide. You have to determine if it was a misapplication or a gap in treatment, or is it breakthrough through the herbicide barrier. If it is a misapplication gap, then a post-emergent application with a pre like Baylan or Team would be best option. If it is breakthrough, then just a post-emergent should be okay and some fertilizer to help the area fill in. The diagnostic update from Rich Buckley at Rutgers University. The Imprellis mass. In recent weeks, the Plant Diagnostic Laboratory in New Jersey has evaluated a number of samples from residential and commercial landscapes that exhibited symptoms of herbicide toxicity. The most noticeable damage and most frequent submission has been spruce. This should not be an issue in New York as it is currently not labeled for use in New York. The symptoms were primarily on new growth and were characterized by stem thickening and bending, twisting, and necrosis of the needles. Unfortunately, we've encountered spruce and white pines that were completely killed. Death to those trees generally occurred over a period of 3 to 4 weeks after the initial symptoms developed on the new growth. Other plants have been submitted as well. Maple, viburnum, and hydrangea exhibited leaf curling and cupping as well as yellowing and stunted growth. To date, the deciduous trees and shrubs have not died. This winter, the DuPont Company introduced a new herbicide for post-emergent broadleaf weed control for turf professionals that would serve as an option to the traditional three-way products mentioned above. The new material, Imprellis, is an innovative product of a unique chemical class. It contains a single active ingredient and exhibits favorable environmental and toxicological characteristics. Imprellis controls a broad spectrum of broadleaf weeds and some of the tough customers like ground ivy, wild violet, and henbit. The active ingredient in Imprellis, aminocyclopyrachlor, is an auxin mimic. Personal communication with several weed specialists suggests that the chemical class, while unique, is most closely related to the pyridines like triclopyr. DuPont suggests that Imprellis has more intense and prolonged impact on auxin receptor sites, which apparently increases its efficacy to target weeds. The product is absorbed by both plant foliage and roots, is translocated both to xylem and phloem of plants, and accumulates in the meristematic regions. Unfortunately, when you read the label carefully, there is a downside to the promising aspects of this material. The fact that Imprellis moves so well in the plants means the material is highly systemic. Both plant foliage and roots absorb the product, which means movement through soil profile as well as in the plant. Thus, any plant will absorb the herbicide whose root system contacts the herbicide moving through the soil profile. We are seeing lots of damage from sites where this product has been used. Almost daily, I have lawn and landscape professionals, master gardeners, Rutgers Cooperative Extension faculty and staff call or bring me samples of damaged spruce. We currently do not have the capacity to do residue testing for this product. Diagnosis is based simply on symptom expression and pesticide records. We use cause and effect. Material applied plus 3 weeks equals classic symptom expression. Be aware that there are many other reasons for spruce and white pine to perform poorly, and brown needles does not automatically imply herbicide phytotoxicity. We are not sure what the long-term health impact will be for affected plants. From the label, on cool season turf grass, this is what it says directly, including Kentucky bluegrass, perennial rye, tall fescue, and fine fescue. When applications will not be made within 5 feet of ornamental ground cover, foliage plants, flowered trees, shrubs, or other desirable plants, Imprellis herbicide may be applied at 6 fluid ounces of product per acre. When not made within 5 feet of ornamental ground covers, do not exceed specified application rates for an area, and particular care must be taken within the drip line of trees and shrubs or other ornamental plants. Am I gazing in the grass report? Dollar spot is at high risk with return to normal temperatures, but brown patch could threaten a New York City area. View your control programs. Make sure you're covered if brown patch has been a serious issue in the past and you are toward the end of your application interval. Soil temperatures will continue to favor growth and infection by summer patch pathogens. Because roots continue vigorous growth from mid-May through mid-June, applications made at this time are especially critical in terms of suppressing pathogen growth inside plant roots. Dollar spot should be easy to control unless fungicide resistance is an issue. As a golfer, it's discouraging to see dollar spot at this time of year when conditions of putting greens and approaches should be near ideal. Dollar spot infection centers can disturb ball roll, especially if the damage is close to the cup. Furthermore, thin, uneven turf approaches to putting greens can adversely affect ball lie and the outcome of a well-intended chip or pitch shot. Crimpy mintgrass can recover from an outbreak relatively quickly, but if annual bluegrass is affected, poor turf quality may remain for weeks or longer. It is likely that dollar spot will only get worse through the season, resulting in greater expense to keep the turf reasonably healthy. A note about infield skins. Many ball diamonds are out of play now, and the lack of available labor often means the skinned areas are neglected and allowed to fill in with weeds. This will only increase labor needs over time as schools can no longer use Roundup-type materials. Consider lightly dragging or turning the skin material once per week, or take a light cultivation tool such as an aerator and cut into the skin about an inch and a half and physically disrupt the weeds. Time spent now will save recovery time in fall or next spring. And synthetic turf and surface temperatures. Increasing air temperature and bright sunny days will lead to very high surface temps on synthetic turf. Studies with various infill material and irrigation failed to reveal any meaningful solution. That is, any cooling that occurs is short-lived, and temps will return to high levels very quickly. Various color infill material does not seem to provide more than a few degrees difference. Thank you for joining for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by Cornell University in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossier, and I hope you have a wonderful week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.